Joining me in studio now is Garland Favorito. Garland, what is your website? What's your organization? And welcome to, back to the studio.
Brandon, thank you for having me back. It's great to be here live rather than remote.
It is.
As soon as I found out I was in the Election Integrity Symposium tomorrow, I said,
well, oh, that's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow, yeah. Okay. I said, I got to come in and see you in person because it's so much better.
Well, tell me, first of all, what is going on? What's this Election Integrity Symposium going on in Nashville? What's that all about?
That is Mark Fincham and Benny Smith and I will be on the agenda for tomorrow. It's
going to
be exciting. It's in Nashville.
Mark Fincham, who's running for Secretary of State in Arizona.
That's right. And you had asked me about the organizations. Voters Organized for Trusted Election Results. In Georgia, we are all about trusted election results require transparency. Transparency requires audits, and we are heads down trying to get that for the state of Georgia.
And what's your website?
VoterGA.org.
VoterGA.org. VoterGA.org. All right. We've got a quick little video we want to play, right?
Yeah. It summarizes our press conference last week. We did a press conference where we announced our chain of custody and Dropbox form analysis that we've been working on for a year. It was a statewide analysis. And this video kind of sums it all up. It's done by Liza Miller, who is a former Miss University of Georgia, and she does all of our videos, our weekly summaries now.
All right, let's go to that video. We'll come back and talk with Garland. Okay.
Welcome to VoterGA Highlights with Liza Miller.
Hello, Georgia. I'm Liza Miller, and this is your weekly update from VoterGA. On Thursday, VoterGA announced a new chain of custody study that revealed nearly 107,000 Dropbox ballots from the November 2020 election have improper chain of custody forms. This calls into question the authenticity of those ballots. The study resulted from a statewide analysis of ballot transfer forms that were obtained via open records requests. These findings are preliminary, and these numbers are expected to increase dramatically as more counties acknowledge they cannot produce oaths for collection team members or admit they have destroyed surveillance videos. As a reminder, state and federal law requires these counties to retain all election records for about 2 years. The findings do not include missing forms that have been previously estimated to grow to approximately 355,000. Further, VoterGA discovered that most counties have no records of how many total ballots were collected from Dropboxes, so there is no way to determine how many ballots were collected when several days' worth of forms are missing. VoterGA found many improper chain of custody issues entailing violations of state election board rules. These include chain of custody forms that are unsigned by collection team members, forms with only one person identified on the pickup team, forms with no name of who received it at the county election center, forms not received on the same day of pickup. VoterGA also found forms representing impossible circumstances such as forms with collection times after drop-off times, recorded pickup times for locations too close together to be accurate, pickups dated before boxes were installed, and pickups on the day after the election. VoterGA also identified massive problems with Dropbox videos, many of which have been prematurely destroyed by the counties. Some counties that retained their videos wanted as much as $15,000 for the recordings, or they could not produce them until months after the election was certified. VoterGA also played sample videos showing that even if the recordings exist, they are inadequate to detect individuals making the drop-offs or the content of nighttime drop-offs. The location's lack of adequate lighting and the cameras are positioned behind the box and too far away to identify what was deposited into the box. The VoterGA poll watching team recently found that SV 202, which was passed by the General Assembly last year, did not rectify these problems. They found that some poll workers would allow ballot harvesters to drop hundreds of ballots into drop boxes inside polling locations. So the law and state election board rules must still be changed further and enforced to ensure election integrity here in Georgia. Thank you so much for staying up to date with us at VoterGA, and we will see you next time.
all day and night.
All right, that is really, really well done. We're going to go through some of those PowerPoint slides that she was presenting there because, you know, if you watch that, look, this is my opinion. You don't have to agree, and maybe you will, maybe you won't. But I'm telling you, I'm watching that 3 minutes, and I'm seeing that for the first time, and I'm thinking right now, that was a rigged election in Georgia. That was absolutely rigged. That was on purpose. They knew they were breaking the law. They knew they were involved in criminal activity. They encouraged it. They facilitated it. And then they covered it up because, hey, look, you don't even have to own a studio like we do and have cameras and lights to know, hey, if you can't see what's going on and what's being dropped in the box and who's dropping it, this is all useless. It's clear they were obviously deliberately setting up a system where you don't know who's dropping what, you know, who the person is. I mean, this thing is obviously deliberately about facilitating fraud. Yes or no?
Brandon, I am so glad that you said that. Let's let the audience decide. Let me walk you through a few facts, and I believe that anyone who is unbiased will reach that conclusion. Let me just give you a few facts. First of all, these drop boxes in Georgia were implemented disproportionately. Certain counties have implemented private money. Certain counties got more boxes. Some counties got no boxes. And that's a violation of equal protection clauses in both the U.S. and Georgia Constitution. The second thing is the slots on the boxes were big enough to actually hold library books. Now, why would you need a slot that big if you...
because they're planning on people grabbing a stack full of ballots and shoving them through.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can you imagine how long they'd be there if they had to do one at a time? You know, you can't put in a couple hundred thousand fraudulent ballots one at a time if the slit's that small. So, I mean, hey, the criminals, he's got things to do too, you know.
Exactly. Then they mounted the cameras. They mounted the cameras too far back and on the other side of the box so you can't see what's going on.
And again, that would only be done deliberately. Only a moron or a crook would do that. But that they work for the government, they might be both.
Right. And you can't see anything at night. So there's another problem. And, you know, ballot harvesters have a free rein to drop anything else in there at night. And then here's a couple of other things. How would you find your drop box? I mean, if you're a voter, how would you know even find your drop box? We suggested that if you really want to drop a ballot off, then go to the post office where you have cameras and you have someone who can verify your ID, and like they would on a financial transaction if you're in a post office.
Well, why not go to the clerk's office? Isn't this what the clerks are being paid for?
Well, exactly. That's what we did in Georgia before that. We went to the clerk's office. You took one person, turned in one ballot. But instead, they want to implement millions of dollars of drop boxes. Well, if that was the problem, why don't you just make the postage paid free return on your ballot? You don't have to go through and spend all these millions of dollars.
Because the drop boxes are deliberately in order to encourage fraud.
Exactly. And
otherwise, you would say you've got to go into the clerk's office, present your ID. You know, you're on camera, smile, you're on camera, present your ID and drop in your ballot. And people say, well, you know, people work late. Well, then, you know what? Keep the clerk's office open longer during election year for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, whatever it is. Keep, pay someone to be there and stay open longer. But the drop boxes are absolutely about voter fraud. The same way we have 500 drop boxes throughout Wisconsin that were for the same purpose, fraud.
Exactly. And it's the only purpose that I can see is that they were implemented to facilitate fraud.
Absolutely.
They do not make, it makes no sense anything else. It just doesn't add up. It doesn't add up financially, logically, or anything else. Why any state would implement drop boxes? Because all the states are going to have the same problems that we found in our statewide analysis for the last year in Georgia.
And your Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, is that his name?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Raffensperger, yeah.
Raffensperger. Was he for the drop boxes?
He implemented the drop boxes. Prior to 2020, we didn't have a ballot harvesting problem in Georgia because you either have to mail your mail-in ballot in or you take it to the elections office and one person can turn in one ballot with a couple of exceptions if you have a disabled a relative, that has to be set up in advance, and then you can turn in their ballot as well.
So you're saying your drop boxes didn't come about until 2020?
Correct.
And Ratzenberger was behind it.
Ratzenberger implemented it.
So the guy that says there's nothing to see here is the guy that helped to implement the ability to steal the election. Is that an appropriate question?
I think that's pretty close.
So yeah. Pretty much like the same moron in Wisconsin, the Speaker of the House, the Republican in Wisconsin, Voss.
Speaker Voss.
Voss says, no, we don't want to have all these look and see here. We don't want to do all this. Oh, really? Because he was the one that signed off the drop boxes. So we got Republican Speaker of the House Voss in Wisconsin. We got a Republican Secretary of State in Georgia. Both of them involved in what appears to be voter fraud and crimes. Both covering up. Is that a legitimate question?
Well, let's put it this way. Anybody who implements a drop box system anywhere in the state, an outdoor drop box system, has to be getting something from somebody, because no one in their right mind would do that. It is facilitating election fraud, as you said, and it's subverting our constitutional right to vote. There is really no question about that. I think you're absolutely right, Brandon.
And we know that we've seen the legislation in Wisconsin where pending legislation, or draft legislation, I should say, draft legislation wants to do the indefinitely confined voter thing again, which I think was, you know, harvesting all kinds of crazy numbers of ballots, and then they're pushing for the drop boxes again. So what is Ratzenberger? Is he pushing for drop boxes again for 2022?
They are allowing it, and we made some changes in the law, the legislature did. However, the new bill is actually riddled with holes, and for one of them is it doesn't require the poll workers to challenge a ballot harvester if they came into the poll. So let's say, for example, you're going to take the boxes inside. That's what it says. They have to be inside. But yet the poll workers, we found with one of our poll monitor coordinators statewide, she Julie Adams, she just figured it out and actually went there and queried the different poll workers and even the poll manager, and they said, well, she said, what are you going to do if somebody comes in with 200 ballots? And they said, well, they have a right to vote. She said, well, they have a right to vote once, not 200 times. So the poll workers and even the manager are not challenging a ballot harvester if they brought the ballots into the inside where the polling location is. So that's a problem, one of the problems with the law, even though we are told that it's better, hasn't really solved the problem.
Mm-hmm. What else is on your list here?
Well, the other thing, I think if you have that queued up, if Logan has it queued up, we could show the little video clip. Is about a 1 minute video clip of at nighttime.
Okay.
And then I think the people at home can see how bad this system really is.
Yeah.
Of monitoring. This whole thing of video surveillance is a joke.
Yeah.
There's no way you can tell it. So maybe our next video.
All right, let's roll that, Logan. Nighttime.
I don't know anything why that happened. So this is just one that we can see. Let me show you one that we can't see. Here's another rule. Drop box locations must have adequate lighting and use a video recording device to monitor each box location. Just so you'll know, this is a bench. This is the drop box right there. So watch it. So see if you can tell. So you can see the person clearly. You can tell his license plate. You can see what they're, you know, you have no idea. You have no idea what's going on there. They stay there for, you know, a couple of seconds and then they drive off. So what good did the video do? I mean, that was part of the rule to make sure that these boxes were secure and the ballots were secure, and we don't know. So when we have people who are doing who knows what, we have one collector who's picking up ballots and then keeping them in their car or their driveway or their house for 3 years, 3 years, 3 days, 2 or 3 days. Did they take ballots out? We just don't know. We don't know that every vote that was put in there was actually counted. So that's...
So that's a chain of custody problem. Is that why we saw the chains breaking apart?
Well, exactly. There's just massive chain of custody issues, and then there's massive problems with the Dropbox implementation to begin with, as you've already described. So the chain of custody forms, we found all sorts of problems, and I think that Liza pretty much outlined all the problems that we found with the forms. So you can't rely on the forms, they're useless. You can't rely on the video surveillance, that was never correct.
And in fact, let's look at here. Chain of custody issues. Chain of custody forms unsigned by collection team members. So you don't even know. You don't even know who
picked them
who
up.
Who picked them up?
Yeah.
Forms with only one person identified on the pickup team. Mm-hmm. So, and what you're saying is there's supposed to be a Republican and a Democrat, or what?
It was supposed to be two people.
Two people. So
yeah.
At least so there's some accountability.
In theory, yeah.
And yet they've only got one.
Yeah.
Forms with no name of who received it at the county election center.
Yeah.
And forms not received on the same day as pickup. What is that last one? Forms not received on the same day.
So that means the collection team members could have taken them home, swapped them out, and then brought them in the next day and checked them in. Yeah, those are all against the rules.
Don't the people of Georgia look at this and say to their elected officials, you're making us look stupid. You're making us look stupid to the rest of the country. That's what I said to the elected officials up in Wisconsin on TV the other night. Don't the elected officials in Wisconsin also look at this and say, you know, this is making us look stupid. Like we, the elected officials who are in charge of the election, can't run an election. Like we who have the power at the legislature cannot oversee our own election with common sense. We're looking stupid to the nation. I mean, aren't people in Georgia mad just from a standpoint of this makes the people of Georgia and the legislature and the law look, it looks like you can't even put a drop box in with a light and a camera that actually does something?
Well, Brandon, today this has all been covered up. And we brought this out last week in our press conference, and it got 13,000 views in 24 hours. That's right up there with Steve Bannon. So that's people have a thirst for this knowledge, and that's why we put it out.
So what you're saying is that video we just showed with the Dropbox and can't see, the public is interested in this topic.
Oh, absolutely. They're going wild. There's, I mean, 13,000 views in 24 hours is amazing. And by the way, if you want to see the next, we've got some more crazy things up there.
Oh, really?
On the next slide.
The next slide? Let's go to the next slide, Logan.
The impossibility.
All right, possible circumstances.
Yeah.
Forms with collection times after drop-off times. Well, how does that happen?
That's a good question. We don't know. How do you drop it off before you collected it?
Uh-huh. Recorded pickup times for locations too close together to be accurate.
So we'll have two locations that are a half hour apart, but the forms say that they were picked up within 3 minutes of each other.
And you can't get there. You can't get to somewhere 30 minutes away in 3 minutes unless you can teleport or something.
Exactly. It's impossible.
Yeah. Pickups dated before boxes were installed. What? Pickups dated before the boxes were installed.
That's correct. We had forms, and this is not just a day. There were forms 2 weeks pickup. We had collection forms for ballots that were picked up 2 weeks before the drop box was even installed. How does
Which then shows you this is fraud.
Well, exactly. And then,
I mean, honest people don't do that.
Exactly. And then the last one was,
what was the last one?
The last one was
pickups
up
on the day after the election. Correct. So they were still harvesting ballots the day after the election.
That's what the forms say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't make this stuff up. It's like, if you'd asked me this, I would have never believed that it could have been this bad. But
and this is all new information. I mean, we have not interviewed you about this. This is all new information. Well, it's not like we're having you on here to rehash old information. This is all, a lot of this is new information.
Well, exactly. And it's a result of this study we've been doing for the last year. You saw David Hancock in the video. He's the team lead for this chain of custody study that we've been doing. And this is something he's been working on for a year. And we've had dozens of people analyzing this information, all volunteers. Nobody gets paid for doing this, but they all care about election integrity.
Well, and of course, this again, whether it's Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan, this is about also federal elections. So this is, everybody should be interested. Every American should be concerned about what's happening in Georgia, what's happening in Wisconsin, and these other states that we're talking about, because this is how you lose your White House. This is how you lose the Congress. This is how you have federal elections that impact all of us, right?
That's right, and this is how you lose your vote forever. That's the big problem.
Have you had any big rallies yet in Georgia where the people can come out and show that they're ticked, that they're mad?
The only huge rally we've had was when President Trump was in Perry, Georgia, back on September the 23rd.
Are you guys have any plans this spring before it gets too hot in Georgia to do kind of a election theft rally? I mean, I would think at some point there ought to be enough people in Georgia that will show up to show the elected officials we're ticked. You guys are morons if you run our election this way, and we expect you to fix it.
Well, we're working with the legislators now. We're showing them this.
But like I said, is there a way to show the legislators the public is ticked? We to show the numbers of people showing up at a rally where you get 10,000 or 20,000 or 30,000 people show up.
I think that most of the legislators I talk to already know that their constituents are ticked.
Do they really?
Oh, yes.
Do they care?
Yes. I actually think a lot of them care and they're concerned. They don't know exactly what to do. And we're showing them, here's what you need to do.
Wait a minute. The legislatures, the members of the legislature don't know what to do.
Literally, they don't. They're not aware of this level of detail of problems because they've been spoon-fed garbage from the Secretary of State's office,
which would be Brad Rassenberg,
and they've drunk the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
So now we're going to have to come in and try to extract all that Kool-Aid and put something in there that will basically help them wake up. And
so when we see Brad being interviewed by some news agency recently, some group interview, was that CBS or somebody interviewed him, right? Remember that? You saw that a couple weeks ago? Some group interviewed him, gave him a long interview, made him out to be a victim, and he had to go by a dog, and he has to look over his shoulder, and oh, poor Brad. You know, he comes off so laid back. Is he laid back or is he stupid? Or is he sly like a fox?
You know, Brandon, that's a great question, and
because I was watching it thinking, he's either really laid back or he's slow.
Well, when he got into the race, he really did not understand the office at all, what the functions were.
So he is slow.
But he spent $1 million and literally bought the office.
Okay, so maybe he is slow, and that's why they put him where he is, because he'll just do what he's told. So basically, Forrest Gump is your Secretary of State.
It appears that he will do whatever he's...
So Forrest Gump is running the office.
Who would do this? Who else would do this? I can't imagine any circumstances in which I would or you would or anybody else. Logan, if that matter, if he was Secretary of State. I just can't imagine.
Me neither. Let's go to the next slide. Logan, we have the next slide queued up. All right. Dropbox video issues. Counties, okay, this one made me mad. I wrote this one down in my notes. Counties charging 50, I'm kind of a little ticked off today, if the audience can't tell. I'm a little more exercised tonight than normal, but that's because I had on my radio show today, I had on Representative Janelle Branchon and Attorney Dan Eastman, and so I dealt with this for an hour with Wisconsin. The same stupid stuff. I mean, charging $12,000 if you want a snapshot in time of the voter rolls in Wisconsin, which, by the way, change every day because, some 1,800 clerks are adding to that system every day. So $12,000 if you want to see the voting rolls of who voted in Wisconsin, it's going to cost you $12,000 to see that. You know, I think one state it's $30, but... And by the way, the whole thing's automated in Wisconsin. Yeah. It's automated. You just go on there, put in your card, boom, it's done. It's not like you're having to pay some worker to go out and collect all this, right? So why are they charging $12,000? And they don't want people to have this. They don't want them to look and study this. But now your state is charging that slide, Logan, you throw that back up, $15,000 for the videos to see what was going on with those drop boxes.
Well, right.
Which, by the way, are no good because you can't see anything.
Exactly. And by the way, Georgia charges $250 for that same voter roll.
$250?
$250 for the same voter roll that Wisconsin wants $12,000 for. I tell you, I thought Georgia was bad, but maybe Wisconsin is worse. But here's the other thing on that video. So even if you were willing to pay the money, you can't get that in time for the election certification. So if you got the surveillance and if they said anything, you know, it would be too late to do anything because the election is certified.
Right. Okay, so counties could not produce for months following election. Okay.
Right.
Really?
Yes.
Poor quality of videos. We got that. Inadequate lighting and improper positioning. Again, who's the contractor doing this? Why on earth was there a check ever cut? What, did no one check their work? And
well,
say, oh, wait a minute, it's too far away, the lighting's poor, you're not getting a check for your work, contractor, until you rectify this. But that's because that's the way they wanted it.
Well, now you're getting to another issue, and this was done with private money.
Oh.
Private money funded this corrupt scheme.
Okay, and where did that money come from? Zuckerberg or who?
Make a wild guess. Yes, it did.
That's
correct.
So that was an accurate guess.
That's correct.
So you're telling me Zuckerberg money, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you're telling me Zuckerberg money went to put in the cameras to monitor these drop boxes?
Most of this was done by grants from CTCL,
which is
Zuckerberg-funded organization.
Which is the same group that's working in Wisconsin.
Right. So
is Zuckerberg, Mark Zuckerberg, is he perhaps one of the greatest criminals in America next to Anthony Fauci?
Well, you have to make a significant argument that he spent millions of dollars to influence and maybe even buy the 2020 election.
Wow.
And you also consider that this goes along with his political agenda. The drop boxes tended to favor areas which were heavily Democrat majorities versus Republican majorities, and we all know about the censorship policies of Facebook. So they tie hand in hand together.
Gee willikers. Logan, do we need to take a quick break? Are we having audio issues? You got me? Are you going to get me another audio? So have they been not hearing me?
No, I can hear you on his mic.
They're hearing me off his mic? Well, that sounds terrible. What's wrong with this mic? All right, well, there you go. Look at that. Logan, you're almost on camera. Everybody's like, what does Logan look like? All those teenage girls out there, Logan, want to know what you look like.
Oh.
All right, let me know. Can you hear me now, Logan? Can they hear me now?
Yep.
All right, now they got me. Sorry about that, folks. All right, so let's go to the next slide, Logan, if you don't mind, please.
That was the last slide.
Right, I put something else down here in my notes.
Yes.
107,000 ballots without the chain of custody, but then something was said about 355,000.
Oh, yes. So here's the other kicker, Brandon. Nobody knows how many ballots were put into drop boxes in the state of Georgia. Only a couple of the counties, three or four, had records of exactly how many were going into the drop box. There was no record, there was no requirement to make sure that everybody, each county knows how many. So we don't know, this is just the improperly filled out forms. We don't know how many forms are missing. We know that, for example, forms are missing for certain days. We don't know how many ballots those represent. So an estimate that was made previously by the Georgia Star, they estimate in addition to 170,000, there's 355,000 missing. And
what was the margin of victory in Georgia?
11,779.
11,779. And in Wisconsin, I think the margin was 20,682.
Yeah, and so we've exceeded that by 10 times or 20 times. Oh, but here's another kicker. That number is still going to go up even higher because it doesn't include all of the counties who didn't have the oaths for the collection team members. We haven't finished adding that in, and we haven't finished adding all the counties who destroyed their video surveillance in violation of federal and state law, which requires all election records to be held for 2 years. These have already been gone.
Now, is it since your press conference and all this that, what's his name, Forrest Gump, what's his name, Brad Rassenberger, is it since that press conference that I think we got something we better look at here?
No.
Because he's come out and said that now, right?
Well, actually, I'm glad you mentioned that. Actually, what he came out, and he's now kind of been forced into investigate the True the Vote allegations. True the Vote made allegations that there was ballot harvesting teams operating in Georgia, 242 people that kept, according to their geo-trafficking, kept going to these same areas where the drop boxes are.
Is that where the one guy got $45,000?
Yes.
$10 a ballot?
The whistleblower had 40, exactly. The GBI didn't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Wait a minute. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation didn't want to touch that.
Correct.
Why? Are they cowards?
No, that's too polite.
Oh, that's too polite. They're crooked.
Yes.
So the Georgia Bureau of Investigation are crooked. Huh?
We would not trust the Georgia Bureau of Investigation with a legitimate investigation.
Yeah. But isn't it Georgia also that for years had child protection services that were running child sex trafficking through your child protection services?
That was Nancy Schaefer's.
Yeah, she was a good friend of mine. Did you know that?
Nancy and I went to church together.
You're
with
kidding.
With her whole family. I was the one who did the story that broke that.
Are you serious?
No, yeah. It was all over Alex Jones, InfoWars, and...
I went to lunch with her and her husband.
Yeah, Bear.
Do you believe it, what they're saying?
Every friend, I went to her funeral, every friend and every family member of Nancy Schaefer's has said to a T that there's no way that he could have killed her.
For those who don't know, by the way, I know we just changed subjects, but Nancy Schaefer was a state senator, very classy, attractive. Did I say the word classy? She was so classy.
She was.
She was so classy.
Her whole family was classy.
She was the epitome of a Southern classy lady. Articulate, excellent communicator. She spoke for my Worldview Weekend rally, our Worldview Weekend in Georgia when I rented the auditorium at Michael Youssef's Church of the Apostles.
Oh yeah, Church of the Apostles. Yes, I go there.
Okay, I rented that chapel. You know that chapel?
Yes.
The smaller chapel.
Yes, I know exactly where.
We rented that, and Nancy came and was one of the speakers, and her husband was there, and then we all went out to lunch. And yes. Nancy had been on my radio show many, many, many times. And for the audience that doesn't know, Nancy, a state senator, was warning. And you go online, type in Nancy Schaefer on child sex trafficking in Georgia. She was working with my friend Phyllis Schlafly, and she was warning that children were being sex trafficked in the state of Georgia through the Child Protection Services, and they would take these children from poor families. Poor families who had no legal wherewithal to fight the system, and then they would throw these kids into foster care programs and other things, and they'd be trafficked. Is that right?
That's correct. And then Nancy turned up dead right before she was to release her video about all that.
And they claimed that her husband did it.
Correct.
Which, if I remember correctly, he supposedly did it with another gun that wasn't registered to him, even though he had a bunch of other guns himself. So why would he go out and buy some separate?
Correct.
I mean, the whole thing's a mess.
Yeah, and it was an untraceable gun. No one in his family had ever seen that gun before.
And people made all kinds of allegations why he may have done it, but you're telling me, I never believed it, but you're telling me that a lot of her family and friends didn't believe it either.
All of her family and friends do not believe it to this day.
So what you're, and the reason this, it just came up, I didn't know you knew her, okay?
Yeah.
And you helped break that story.
I was the one that broke the story on March 30th, I think it was 2010, yes. I wrote the story.
Wow, I did not know all this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been friends for so long.
Right.
And what's interesting is that, again, I think it goes to show the crookedness of what's going on in Georgia. And you're telling me that the Child Protection or Georgia Bureau of Investigation doesn't want to touch any of this. So apparently the Georgia Bureau of Investigation isn't investigating some of these other things either. I mean, this is... So I hate to say it, but Georgia's looking like a backwoods, crooked state.
Well, we have a lot of issues there, and unfortunately, the GBI is part of the problem. They're not exclusively to part of the problem. The information we were talking about earlier, not only did it go to the GBI, it went to the governor, and they didn't do anything with it. I think the Truth the Vote accusations, and then it ended up in Secretary of State's office. And of course, he's got his IG's office also has a long track record of bogus investigations, politically motivated investigations as well.
And the only reason he's now investigating is because of this whistleblower coming out, right?
Right. Well, it's not just the whistleblower, but it's the whole allegations that keep growing and growing. You know,
so he has no choice.
We're finding
he's been backed into a corner. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And what do you think his investigation is going to reveal?
They will investigate the whistleblower and try to
destroy him.
And I can tell you that from personal experience. Susie Voiles, who was the one who found the counterfeit ballots in the Fulton County audit, and one of six who swore affidavits. Bridget Thorne, another whistleblower, who was both of them senior poll managers. And myself, who I found some vote spikes, we were all investigated by the Inspector General's Office of the Secretary of State, even though they wouldn't tell us that. And the investigator calls us, and we all concluded independently that the Secretary of State's office had no intention of investigating our claims. They were trying to investigate us and try to charge us with something if they could. And we know that also because they did that to the elections directors who blew the whistles
on Dominion. And who was doing this investigation? Who was doing that?
That was an investigator working for the Secretary of State's office.
Brad Raffensperger,
right. They have their own investigation team, which handles election board investigations and Secretary of State office investigations.
Has any of the good Southern Baptist or good Bible preachers down in Georgia gone and shared Jesus with Brad? Because it sounds like he needs Jesus really bad.
Well,
sounds like a real scoundrel.
That's another interesting thing, because Brad has gone church hopping for the last, 10 years or so. He's
really?
Gone to the three largest churches in North Fulton.
Well, that's good politics.
So, it really is. He's moved from one church to another over a period of a few years and made rather good contacts in all three of the major churches in the North Fulton area.
Gee willikers. Is anyone running against him?
Yes. Jody Heiss is running against him. And of course, he's got President Trump's endorsement, and there are a couple of other candidates running as well.
And that election will be this November?
That election will be, the primary will be in May.
And then okay.
And then in November. So we have
some
cleanup to do.
Do you think he'll win?
Jody or Brad? Oh, no. Brad is probably the most unpopular politician in the state of Georgia right now. He's got a tough road to hoe. I don't even know if he'll stay in it. But he's... there's too much information that has already come out, and we're not done yet. We have a lot more information to go. We are still, I know this is hard to believe, we are still just past the tip of the iceberg of corruption in the state of Georgia in this past election.
Well, I guess Brad could always go get a shrimp boat on the coast of Georgia,
I asked Brad, before he took this office, when he was just in the primary, I said, "Brad, why do you want this job? If you do something right, you don't get any credit, and if you do something wrong, the world knows." And I never did get a straight answer. And unfortunately, he's done so many things wrong now that his reputation is totally destroyed. I mean, it's like I actually almost feel bad for the guy.
No, I don't. I don't at all. All right, give your website again, will you?
Okay, thank you, Brad. It's voterga.org. We hope that you'll help us out with donations. I don't take a salary.
Okay.
I'm a volunteer, so everything goes to lawsuits. They're trying to string us out with appeals and that sort of thing. But we're going to keep fighting until we expose this and figure out what happened in 2020 so we can fix it for 2022.
Excellent. All right, and while we're talking, I'm also just got a text from Tim Rantham, who is up there in Wisconsin, putting forth the resolution to decertify Wisconsin.
Yes.
I mean, we have really kind of become the center, the hub for you guys around the country, haven't we, here at Lindell
TV? Absolutely. And that's why I'm so excited to come in. I wanted to be here. I wanted to be here live.
Well, I appreciate it. We really
do.
We appreciate it. It's great to have you here live.
You too.
And we got you some good Southern barbecue while you're here, too.
Yes, you did.
I don't know. How's the Tennessee barbecue compared to Georgia barbecue?
Well, I don't know. I'm hooked on this Memphis brisket.
It is good stuff, and we feed it to a lot of her. My wife makes a lot of meals, as you know, when people come through here.
Yes,
but she does back up and punt with the Tennessee barbecue place that our family frequents and loves, and all our guests love it. They love it, love it, love it. So you did like it.
Oh, yeah, that's an understatement.
Okay, good. Give your website one more time. I guess there it is on the screen.
VoterGA.org. That's it. And we've got a wealth of information. The press conferences are up there, and the all of our press releases. You'll just be blown away. If you just plan on spending a couple hours and looking at all our stuff, and you'll find out.
And send it all over Georgia, folks. Send it all. And if you're in another state but you have friends in Georgia, send them the URL, VoterGA.org. Send them the URL. Wake up the folks of Georgia. Wake up the folks of Georgia. Thanks again, Garland.
Thank you, Brad. It's great to be here.